So let us begin this day with a word of prayer, and then we will get into the Word of God. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And we open our lives to you this day as we commemorate the inauguration of your setting yourself apart to give us the freedom of life and death, and that we would choose life. We thank you too, Lord, for you instituted one of the sacraments at this time. And that sacrament is your body and blood, broken and poured out for us, the most holy meal any Christian could ever partake. So, Lord God, this day as we come to worship you and to remember and to move into this portion of Holy Week, because it's here, Lord, that things turned to bring forth the salvation of every human being that would believe. So, Lord, in believing we come to honor you and to glorify you through our worship, through our prayers, by the sacrifice of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit among us. Bless us this day as we come in worship of your word. Amen. Open your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We have a whole box of them up here. We will give you a Bible so you can follow along, because we have, I need a couple of them out here, guys. We have a long section of Scripture that we're going to be looking at. We are going to be in the book of John. We're going to begin in chapter 6, in verse 26, and we are going to read all the way through to 58. So it's a long piece of Scripture. But in this discourse, Jesus sets us up to understand just who he is and what is about to happen. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread out of heaven to eat.'" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on that last day." Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'? And he answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.' Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, he who eats me and also, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. In this scripture, Jesus is talking a very, very hard saying. In fact, if we read a little bit further, we'll find out that at this point in time, many of the disciples, many of the followers of Christ left. I won't say disciples, but many of the followers left. And they abandoned him because it was too hard of a saying for them to understand. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not understand spiritual things. But we who are in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit can understand. And we now know that there's something else going on here. Bread here is the symbol of nourishment or food. Please understand, just as the physical body needs physical nourishment, so too does the spiritual body need spiritual nourishment. When we think about what Jesus has said here, we need to understand just in the portion that I read, because this is actually a bigger discourse than what I read, but just in this chapter 6, 6 times Jesus references, or the scriptures here in John references, this bread that came down out of heaven. And it's important for us to understand that where the bread came from is extremely important to us. How many of you look at your food products on the grocery shelf, and if it says that it's from Mexico, you eat it with unabandonment? Okay? We like to know that it's grown in the United States and has really followed some of the FDA rules, because we also know that other countries, which we get a lot of our food from, I mean, why do you think we have watermelons in January? And cantaloupes in June, or cantaloupes in February, okay? The reason for that is, at other places in the world, that fruit is ripening, and they ship it to us. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tasted one of those cantaloupes in January? How good are they? Miss Dottie's back there going, because it has had to survive the travel. It has had preservatives put in it or sprayed on it or whatever to get it here, okay? Because it's physical food. It perishes quickly. Well, we need to understand that so too does spiritual food. Spiritual food is delivered to us from heaven. What happened to the manna in the desert after the morning was over? It dried up and went away. But what happened, and Mitch got this right, what happened to it if you kept it for a day, Mitch? It rotted, and worms were in it, okay? We need to understand, physical food perishes, so too does spiritual food, if it is not taken at the time at which it is given. And we need to understand, just as important as the fact that, you know, I don't know about you folks, but I like to go to the local farmers market stands and get the fresh produce that's grown right here in Lebanon County. You know, I'll go down to Lancaster and get some of the stuff that the Amish sell, over to Green Dragon. You know, that's where we got our cabbage to make sauerkraut. You know, I like to buy local because I know it's fresh. Okay? I like to know where it came from. Well, there's one reality. We can go anywhere in the United States and buy food. Amen? There's only one place that you can get spiritual food. Where's that? From heaven. It must come from God. It's the only place it comes from. There are so many religions out there that they, you know, they'll sit around and they're soaking up the aura and the sun and you know, all these different things that they're pursuing. And how are their spirits? Jesus says, if you eat of this bread and drink of this drink, you will never thirst and you will never hunger. Only the bread of heaven and the blood of heaven will satisfy. And it's amazing because we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. As we think about how this comes to us from heaven, it's got one place that it comes from. How important do you think that is in all of our walk? We can't get it from, I can't get it from Marion and Ruth Ann. If we're having fellowship, do you guys give me the bread of life? No. How about you, Leslie? You know, we come over to your house and we're sharing a meal there together and you know, having a nice roast beef, right? Is that going to feed me spiritually? Where do I get that? From God. Can we get it when we're having dinner with the Ziegenfusses? Can we get it when I'm fellowshipping with Ruth Ann and Marion? Yes. Because God is there. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also in their midst concerning myself. Wherever we gather, the food of the Lord is there. That's why I keep telling you folks, when you gather together, when you have a group of Christians at your house, serve communion at the table. It's a symbolic meal, and it's very, very real. It's symbolic in its physical element, but it's real food in its spiritual element. And I want us to understand that today. That the body of Christ is real food. The blood of Christ is real drink. Jesus said it himself. He taught on this. So how do we consume the bread? How do we take him into ourselves just like real food? Well, when you think about real food has sustenance, doesn't it? Real food has sugars, it has proteins, it has fibers, it has carbohydrates. All these things that our body needs, right? And when we take it in, all those things that are in it get broken down and go to the places in our body where that needs to be nourished. Well, it's the same way with Jesus Christ. When we take of the bread of God, which is the body of Christ, which is the Word, and we apply it to our spiritual lives, it goes to our attitude, it goes to our personality, it goes to our character, and it begins to change us. Now, how many of you have ever seen little Alex over here after having five cookies? Miss Shannon says, me, because you people give him cookies every Sunday. And send him home. What happens to a little child when we give them too much sugar? What happens to us adults when we eat too much sugar? Kids get full of energy. We just kind of blow up. Stuff happens, doesn't it? There is a transformation of the physical being. So too, when we partake of Christ, his character, his personality, his attitudes, and we implore them into ourselves, we take them in. To eat something is take something from the external and bring it internal. Okay? Isn't that what we do with the Word of God? We take it from outside of ourselves and we bring it into ourselves. And as we bring it into ourselves, the character of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, the godliness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, does it have any avail unto any of us? Yes, to the very transformation of our souls. We spoke about this in our discipleship hour, that if you truly, truly are a Christian, there's transformation. Am I right, Brother Mitch? I mean, he doesn't have long hair and a ponytail anymore. Yes, we know you have long hair and a ponytail, but there's been other transformation in you. And that transformation, and that's kind of neat that Brother David spoke up there, because my transformation is not your transformation, correct? And your transformation is not my transformation, because my body uses sugar and carbohydrates and proteins the way my body needs it. So too does your body use the things of Christ the way you need it to implore the things that need to be changed or transformed in you. I want us also to understand that consuming Christ is so closely tied to the cross of Christ. Because when we partake of his broken body and his blood, where did that happen? Before the cross and on the cross. Okay? That's when our meal was prepared. His body was broken before the cross and during the cross. Does anybody remember where his body was broken during the cross? And they pierced his side. They also nailed him to it. So there was a breaking in both those ways. We need to understand that those final breakings are what brought the death. The first was preparatory. Because Jesus also bled the entire way to Golgotha. And when they pierced his side, blood and water poured out. And in that, we know medically that he was dead. So when we partake of Christ, and we're going to do that here in a little while at the tables, we are literally partaking of his broken body, symbolically in these physical elements. But we're going back to the cross and what he did for us. We're also partaking the word into our lives. This meal is a feast. It is unending. It is eternal. And it brings life. When they ate the manna that came down out of heaven, that entire generation passed. The next generation, did they pass? Yes, but they passed in the promised land. The awesome thing is, when we get to the promised land, we will have passed from this life, but we will be living forever because of this meal that we partake. So as we think about how we consume it and what it does to us, we then need to think about what effect does this bread have on our lives, and how does this incorporate into us? He says that we will hunger and thirst no more. It's so amazing to me. I don't know about you folks, but how many of you have ever been into all kinds of different things? How many of you are into Tai Chi? Okay, how about exercise classes of any kind? Okay, and how about meditation? How many of us meditate? We go into a little room and we just meditate. Okay, it so amazes me, because there are so many different ways that people are reaching for spiritual things. I want you to think about that. There are all kinds of spiritualists out there. All right? You know, all you have to do is look in the phone book, and there's these psychics. Call us and we'll tell you our future. Okay? How many of you have ever done one of those phone calls? When they pick up on the other end, you should simply say yes and wait. Because if they're truly a psychic, they're going to know who you are and what they need to say. Your hotline went bad. Oh, the psychic hotline went bankrupt. It is spiritually bankrupt. But the amazing thing is, when we come to Christ, Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus says we'll hunger and thirst no more. I don't know about you guys, but I cannot live on chocolate forever. Okay? I like chocolate. In fact, there's 2 1-gallon jugs at our house. And right now, there might be about 15 pieces of chocolate in the one jug and about 6 in the other. But they were full. Okay? Back, I don't know, about Christmas. They were full. Okay? And I just can't eat chocolate all the time. But I love to go over and open the cabinet and open that jug and sneak a candy bar out. And, well, that's what I call it. That's what I call it. Okay? How many of you raid the refrigerator at 2 o'clock in the morning? Okay? Yeah. The amazing thing is, we're hungry. So we're looking for something to satisfy that hunger, right? For some of you, it may not be chocolate. It might be cake. Or it might be ice cream. How many of you eat a 1/2 gallon of ice cream a week?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. I like that. There's honesty among us. But the amazing thing is, when we think about Christ, I want us to understand, how many of you would eat the same meal every day of every day of every day of every day of every day? It gets boring, doesn't it? But the amazing thing is, with Christ, He is the only spiritual meal that satisfies. And it does not mean that we'll stop hungering. It means we have found that which satisfies, and we come back, and we come back, and we come back, and we come back to get filled and refilled and refilled and refilled, because it's the only thing that satisfies. We need to understand the translation here, because it does not mean that you will truly not hunger or thirst anymore, that your hunger is over. What it means is you have found that which satisfies that hunger, and it's the only thing that satisfies it. God is the only one who can fill that hole that He created in us, because He's the one who's meant to fill it. We need to remember, we are a 3-part being. God's the third part. God is the third part of who we are. The Spirit that is in us can only be satisfied by the Spirit of God. That's why there's so much warring in our world. That's why there's so much worry in our world, because so many people are not being satisfied with He who is the satisfaction of our souls. The second thing, the second effect is, the spiritual body is sustained and we grow spiritually. Now, I think, to me, that's one of the most important parts, especially when I, as a pastor, look out at a congregation. In fact, we, the elders, just had a conversation here at our last elders meeting. And in that conversation, we were saying how blessed we are because we're a small congregation, but yet we lack nothing. All of you are making up every amount of need that our church has. That shows us true health within a church, that you folks understand that you're being fed, that you're receiving from God, and in that, you're giving back to God, as only God can allow you to do. If there was something missing, then we would be missing something in our church. We are missing something. We have empty chairs. But we're working on that. Right, Lisa? Amen. Right, Lyle? Amen. And we work on it slowly. You know, I don't know about you, but I can remember when I was in the gym, okay? In my 20s, I used to be a member of a gym. And when we started working out, okay, we started at one place. To the end, when I finally quit going to the gym and things in my life were changing, I was up to the place where I was leg pressing 1,200 pounds, okay? 1,200 pounds with my legs, I could leg press. That's, you lay down on your back, your legs are in the air, and I would push 1,200 pounds with my legs. I used to have, anybody here remember Popeye? Okay, do you remember his muscles after he ate the spinach? Okay, that's what my legs looked like. Okay, I couldn't wear tight-fitting jeans. I had to get the balloon jeans, okay? And when I wore shorts, everybody would laugh at my pot pie legs because I had these huge calves. Now, I haven't done that for a lot of years, so they've shrunk. What's my point? When we start out with Christ, we start out slow, and we grow a little bit at a time, and then we get more and more, and we get pumped up, spiritually pumped up, spiritually pumped up, until we can do more and more and more. Because Jesus said, the things that I will do, far greater things will you do. That means we need to grow from where we came in to where he wants us to be. And when we die and enter into eternity, it doesn't stop, because that's when we get our pumped up bodies. They are spiritually full. And there we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then after that, eternity. And nobody knows what eternity looks like. I can only imagine. So spiritually, the body is sustained and we grow. And the third thing it does is it keeps us on course. If we stop partaking of the spiritual food of the body of Christ, what happens to an individual at that point in time? And we all know it. We call it backsliding. We've all had people in our lives. In fact, some of us may be very, very real in saying, you know, hey, that was me. That was me. I backslid for a while. And wow, did I ever go backwards? Okay? If I showed you my legs, you would all laugh because I now have chicken thighs. Okay, I don't have pot pie thighs, I have chicken thighs. Because I stopped exercising them and my body reverted back. Okay, and that's exactly what happens to us when we get off course with Christ. And all of a sudden, all these other avenues start coming in and we get confused as to where we're supposed to be because we're not staying in tune spiritually. We're not being fed spiritually. Our heart does not receive the blessings that it needs to receive. And it starts to get smaller and can't hear God. And we lose direction. We lose course. So when we think about this bread that Jesus is offering up, we have to come to a place of saying to ourselves, so then, how do I respond, understanding that Jesus is the bread of life, the only thing that can sustain me? In the discourse that I read to you, Jesus used three verbs. Now remember, a response is active, right? So we have to look for an active way to respond. And Jesus used three verbs. The first was come. He says, come to me. And I will give you food unto eternity. So we need to come to Christ. We need to begin that relationship, right, Mitch? We need to begin talking to him and with him and understanding him and hearing him. And some of that is going to mean coming into church and finding like-minded people and talking to them, getting involved in discipleship, getting into your word yourself and having a quiet time. The second thing that we need to do, Jesus says, believe. Now, you think to yourself, well, gee, that's not very active. Yes, it is. It's extremely active because we can come to Christ. Many people come to church. We can come and we can see how God is affecting others. But if we don't believe ourselves, we will not be transformed. Because believing is an active pursuit of accepting and trusting what Christ has said and doing what he has told us. Because to believe is also to love. I want you to think about that. To believe God is to love God. And in loving God, he says, you will follow my commands if you love me. So if we believe him, we have to love him. And that moves us forward. And the next thing he says, and this is amazing, is eat. You cannot live if you don't eat. What happens to your physical body if you stop eating? Shuts down. You die. It's called starvation. Folks, our world is in poverty spiritually. There are so many people spiritually dead. They're no longer starving. They are dead, for they have not come, they have not believed, and they have not eaten. But when we come and we eat, when we partake of Christ, when we bring him into our spiritual bodies, now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, because that's to eat Christ, is to receive the Holy Spirit. Now life is in us and it cannot be taken away. Can I hear a praise God? So to end this evening or this service, this sermon, it's up to you. Will you allow Jesus Christ to be the bread of your life? This night, he brought it into being. No, he didn't go to the cross this night, but he began the process by showing us the way, giving us the truth, and pouring out his life. Do you see how all these sermons tie in to Lent? We've got one more to do. Can anybody tell me what that is? One more I am. And the life. I am, says Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And in 3 days, we'll learn about that.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.